Mayor Basil Zemplis.
Good afternoon, everybody. I formally declare the agenda briefing session for the City of Perth open at exactly 5 p.m. As is customary, I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay my respects to elders past, present and emerging. It is a privilege to stand on Whadjuk Noongar country. CEO, can I ask you to recite the prayer, please?
Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated, everybody. Thank you. So we will proceed with the next item of business, which is those in attendance today: Deputy Lord Mayor Sandy Angie, Councillor Di Bain, Councillor Clyde Bevan, Councillor Brent Fleeton, Councillor Liam Gobbett, Councillor Rebecca Gordon, Councillor Victor Coe absent just at the moment, but we do believe he will be here shortly. Councillor Catherine Leeser, also in attendance, the Chief Executive Officer, GM of Infrastructure and Operations. Thank you, Councillor Coe. Welcome. General Manager of Community Development, GM of Planning and Economic Development, GM of Corporate Services, Alliance Manager Governance and Governance Officer. CEO, do we have any apologies?
Yes. Sorry, Lord Mayor, yes we do. We have the General Manager Infrastructure and Operations is an apology, and in his place will be Nathan Ahern, Alliance Manager Parking.
Thank you, Nathan. Welcome. Excellent replacement. Applications for leave of absence will be dealt with at the ordinary meeting next week. So we move to item four, announcements. Just take the opportunity to remind those who don't know that on health advice the decision was reached by the government's chief health officer to cause Skyworks for 2021 not to be held. That was announced last week, as you know. But that doesn't mean the cancellation of Australia Day celebrations, and indeed we're delighted that it gives us the opportunity to celebrate the day in a new and different way. A new program of family events is being developed. I want to thank the CEO and her teams for responding quickly to the changed environment. And I do reiterate that it gives us, as I have mentioned in the press, gives us the chance to spread the love and spread the risk, if you like. And we're in the process of liaising with our various community groups to spread Australia Day celebrations throughout the City of Perth, across our neighbourhoods. So in 2021, no fireworks, but we still intend to light the city up. The City of Perth will be the home of Australia Day celebrations still. Friday was a busy day at the City of Perth. We had the first of our town hall meetings. We had an excellent representation of councillors, and I thank those councillors who were able to give some of their valuable time to be there. We also had, I'm delighted to say, an excellent representation from ratepayers, residents and other interested stakeholders. And anyone who is a visitor to the City of Perth is an interested stakeholder. We had a great range of questions and a great opportunity for those in the room to liaise and engage directly with elected members. And I am happy to report that the very first of our town hall meetings, something we plan to have each and every month at varying times, was a great success. And I would encourage any of our ratepayers, residents and interested parties to attend so that they can speak directly to and ask questions directly of their Lord Mayor or any of the elected members. Item 5.1 is public questions. Are there any public questions? Any public questions will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. So item 5.2. CEO, are there any deputations?
No, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. Item 6 on the agenda is disclosures of interest. CEO, have any been received?
No, Lord Mayor.
Thank you, CEO. Do any other councillors have any disclosures of interest from the floor?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. 17.1, security services. One of the applicants, Australian Guards and Patrols, is known to me through their service at another location.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. type of interest, Councillor Fleeton?
Sorry,
impartiality. Yeah. Impartiality. Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Any other disclosures of interest from the floor? Thank you, councillors. We now move to the reports. I'll ask we move through each of the reports, and if any councillor has a question in relation to the item. So, 11.1 is the signing of Memorandum of Understanding with Denpasar City, Indonesia. Do any councillors have a question on this item?
Yes, I do, Lord Mayor.
Yes, Councillor Leeser.
What is the likely ongoing financial implications if we happen to sign this? This question was sent in earlier.
CEO?
Could I invite the General Manager of Planning and Economic Development to answer this and any other further questions?
At this stage, we've only committed $7,000 towards this project, and that's really to go through the engagement and signing the process, the event and so forth like this. Any other costs that are generated from the MOU are going to be items that will be referred to Council. We don't know what those costs are because we don't know what those projects are at this point in time. So
they will
be considered by Council, and you can make a determination at the time.
Through the Chair, can I follow up, please?
Yes, please, Councillor.
So with the rest of the $75,000 that's allocated, hypothetically, if we had a delegation from Denpasar, we could use some of that money for them visiting us, or I can think of many hypothetical situations where it would cost the city substantial monies and it would, you know, go through that $75,000. So what else is that being spent on? Thank you.
GM, happy for that to come direct to you.
The $75,000 is actually the entire budget for the international engagement, so it's all predetermined expenditure, so there isn't anything other out of that fund dedicated for this particular initiative. We did have a delegation from Indonesia. If we were to sign the MOU, the suggested next step, if we were doing something physical as a delegation, perhaps that may equally go over to Indonesia, but that is going to be determined at the time, and there is no budget allocated for that at this point, so be considered on its merits.
Thank you, GM. Any further questions, Councillor Leeser? Does anybody, any of the other councillors have a question? Councillor Coe?
Is it working? Yeah. Hey, good day. Through the Chair. I'm just looking through the letter that we're about to agree to sign, and it mentions working groups need to be established in Article 6, and I was wondering if there's been any, has a working group been established yet?
CEO?
General Manager, Planning and Economic Development.
Through the Chair. At this stage, no, because once the MOU is signed and there's intent that we are a party to this MOU, then our next step would be to establish a working group. Equally, that's our counterparts are in that position as well. They're wanting us to show intent first before they proceed with that.
Can I answer the question, Councillor Coe?
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Fleeton, I believe you have a question?
It's actually answered.
Okay. Thank you, councillors. Thank you, GM, General Planning and Economic Development. Are there any other questions? Okay, we move to item 12.1, COVID-19 Rebound Economic Development Sponsorship, Australasian Oil and Gas Exhibition and Conference. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Deputy Lord Mayor Angie.
Regarding this item, the Sponsorship of Australian Oil and Gas Conference, has the city explored the potential to promote our city through this partnership, given that this year the conference will be largely online and therefore with the potential to profile our city to a global audience far beyond the 721 international guests physically present at the last conference?
CEO.
I have that the General Manager Community Development is able to answer this question. However, I would also invite the General Manager Planning and Economic Development to assist if there were a specific question.
I'm quite happy to go first. So through the chair, yes, the city does really actively promote the Perth event online to an international community. In particular, the city leverages its participation in the World Energy Cities Partnership Network, and we use that network to promote both Perth and the event really heavily throughout the international community.
Does that answer the question, Deputy Lord Mayor?
Yeah, I guess I'll just use an example. I just know through COVID, a lot of events that were formerly just physically attended have gone online and have attracted a much broader audience. Yep. So just the opportunity through this to really showcase our city in some form. Mm. So through this sponsorship, being able to provide materials that could help promote our city so that after COVID, when the borders, international borders open, that we could encourage people to actually come here.
Through the chair, the city has been working really collaboratively with the event organisers. The intention is to not only promote the event but to promote Perth. So through the sponsorship benefits, we'll continue to work with the event organisers in terms of collateral that they can use to promote Perth as well as the event online, knowing that most of the event participants will be an online audience. So yes, that's something that we're really focused on.
Are there any other... does that answer the question, Deputy Lord Mayor? Thank you. Councillor Leeser, yes.
Through the chair, I have several questions. I'll go with one by one.
Yes.
Does the city staff this recharge lounge that we were briefed on? Is it like having a booth?
So again, I'll direct to the General Manager, Community Development, for all of the questions.
All of the questions. Through the chair, we have some images if you'd like to see them. If Siobhan could bring them up. So every year we do have what's called a recharge lounge. So part of the sponsorship benefit is to have a free booth, but we do pay for fit out, which at the last event was about $8,600, and that produces collateral and the furniture and the fit out of that booth. So here are some images from last time. We have our economic development team present throughout the conference. That's an opportunity to engage with participants to promote Perth, promote the opportunities that that are available in Perth, and also, as you can see, it gives people an opportunity to recharge their phones while they're there.
A good spot next to the oyster bar. Councillor Leeser?
Through the chair, is there any other spend other than the $50,000 and the $8,600 that the city spends its own money on?
No, the only extra funding goes into the recharge booth for the fit out and collateral for the recharge booth.
Through the chair, my follow up question is, you've been involved in the contingency planning for COVID. Are we sure that it's going to reach a better audience or a bigger audience this coming year?
As I said, we've been working really collaboratively, both through the economic development team and the sponsorship team, to really maximise the event. The event has, from a COVID point of view, they have a risk team in place, the event organisers, to make sure that the event is in fact COVID safe. So we're really confident about their ability to do that. And this particular event organiser has a very good reputation, and we've worked with them previously for quite some time, in fact, in terms of running events. We're really confident that the pivoting that they've done to both have an in-person component to the event, which will be mostly a local market, but they've made a lot of options to ensure that people can participate online, so we're really confident that they'll be able to hit their target. But of course we will do, as part of their acquittal, we'll also be requiring them to provide us with good data about how successful the event was.
Thank you, and one other question. This money is going to a private company, not an association or a not-for-profit. And we seem to have been funding them for more than a decade. Mm-hmm. Is there not an opportunity for decreasing funding as a successful event happens?
Through the chair, yes, there is always opportunity to reduce the amount of money that we fund, but this is considered one of the most significant conferences events that is held in Perth. the energy industry is one of our key sector industries that we're trying to promote and to support and to keep Western Australia and Perth positioned as a leader in the world. So we see that this event is a really important event to continue to support. But it, you will notice in the report that there's also funding coming from state government, Woodside and a lot of other stakeholders, which really does demonstrate how important this event is. And we do feel that the contribution we make is part of that commitment from the city and from the state, and the intent is to keep it here.
Thank you. And follow up to that, through the chair, do we not have a policy about giving to private companies for such things, as opposed to associations or non-for-profits, is what I'm asking.
I will have to come back and clarify that, but I'm confident that our policy actually does cover events that are hosted or run by private companies or not-for-profit associations. This policy, this event has been assessed against our policy.
Answers the questions, Councillor Leeson. Thank you. Thank you, General Manager. Any further questions from councillors? Yes, Councillor Fleeton.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. What's Queensland doing here to cut our grass? We can't lose this.
No.
And I'm not going to debate the issue now, but what do we know that Queensland's up to?
Through the chair,
yeah.
Shall I? Oh, sorry.
Yes, no, thank you very much.
Through the chair, we have anecdotal information that the Queensland Government is very keen to position Queensland as a state that has a strong industry, and we're aware that they're very keen to attract major events in this area. So it is anecdotal, but we're watching this space and we're making sure that we don't lose it.
Just one last question. So are we talking with this company now about, you know, if Queensland lobs an offer in, will we have the ability to match it or beat it? Or what's the strength of the relationship there?
The strength of the relationship is, as I say, we've been working with them for 11 years in terms of hosting this event, so it's a very strong relationship, and both our events, our economic development team and our sponsorship team works really, really hard to support this event and to work closely with them to make sure it's a success. In terms of looking at scenarios, in terms of if there is a counter offer from another state, I'd really have to come back and give you further information to see if that's been some discussion that's been held with the economic development team and the event organisers.
Councillor Fleeton, that satisfies the questions. Are there any other questions? Okay, so we move to the next item. Thank you, General Manager, Community Development. Our next item is 12.2 Event Sponsorship Variations, West Coast Fever and Open House Perth 2020. Do any councillors have any questions on this item? Okay, no questions. We move to Item 12.3, the Lord Mayor's Distress Relief Fund, appointment of Honorary Secretary and Honorary Treasurer. Are there any councillors have any questions on this item? Councillor Leeser?
Through the Chair, this is not directly related to this item, but I am curious to know how this Distress Relief Fund is actually funded.
CEO.
And to the General Manager, Community Development?
There may be two answers or two parts to this question or two answers to this question. In terms of the funding, the city carries the administrative cost of looking after the fund and the board, and also if there is an appeal, certainly we provide all the support necessary to conduct an appeal. In terms of funding for the appeal, that's through donations and fundraising when there's an appeal called.
Any further questions? You're okay, Councillor Lisa. Councillor Bain.
Oh, I just had a typo. I think Sue Ash is an AO, not an OA.
That's exactly... you're absolutely correct. I do know that. We'll correct that in the final papers.
Sorry, through the chair.
That's a statement, not a question, but what a great statement it was, Councillor Bain. We will allow it on this occasion. Thank you very much, and thank you, General Manager. 12.2 we have dealt with. 12.3 we have dealt with. It's going so well, isn't it? Number 13... Infrastructure and Operations Alliance reports, security services, facilities and car parks. I need to state that number. RFT 26 2021 is presented under item 17 as it contains confidential attachments. So we move to 14.1, monthly financial report for September 2020. Do any councillors have a question on this item? First hand up, Councillor Leeser.
I have multiple questions and I've submitted them prior.
We'll get you to read,
them all?
First of them and or all of them, maybe all of them.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe all of them.
All of them in one go.
Through the CEO and then to the okay. intended GM.
One,
okay.
Sorry, no, one.
Do you want one at a time?
One at a time.
One at a time it is, Councillor Leeser.
Okay. So I'm sorry if this is weird questions because this is the first time we've seen these documents, so I have to get my head around it. So I apologise if we're taking longer than normal.
Apology necessary, Councillor.
So interest revenues are surely dropping substantially. We all know that in terms of bank interest. Is a permanent adjustment to the budget needed?
Through the CEO.
And if I could invite Phil, all of the remaining questions being asked separately, if the Project Director Strategic Finance could answer. Thank you.
Thank you, through the Chair, and thank you also to the Councillor for being so considerate as to submit the questions ahead of time. It did allow time to actually prepare informed responses, so thank you. The first question in relation to interest, it is absolutely correct that since the budget was drafted, there have been several interest rate reductions. We are aware of the fact that it will have a significant impact. That has currently been estimated and is sitting in the draft budget review document, which will come back to Council at the end of December, at which time there will be a downwards adjustment, definitely.
Councillor Leeser.
Thank you. Through the Chair. In item 7, I just want an explanation of what is contributions. I don't understand what that means.
Thank you, Councillor. That is, in fact, one of those unfortunate terminologies which are legislated in our financial management regulations, which almost nobody understands. So the answer is really, it talks about a situation where money comes into the city, but it's not a fee and it's not a grant. For instance, the City of Perth is a member of the Inner City Metropolitan Council's group, and we may, for example, provide a, if you want to call it, a shared service amongst that group of councils, and, say, Victoria Park or South Perth or Vincent may contribute a small sum of money towards the cost of doing so. So whenever you see that terminology, that'll be what it refers to.
Thank you, Project Director. Councillor Leeser?
Yes, thank you. There was a note in point 8 about depreciation, building valuations being revalued. Do we have a sense whether they're going up or down?
Thank you, Councillor. We do have a sense of what has happened there. The auditors have just agreed to sign off the valuations this month. We have a property portfolio with a written down value of $279 million. The net impact of the revaluation changes was $3.7 million, so it's quite insignificant. There was about a $9 million upwards increment, and then, say, the difference of five and a half was a downwards.
Okay, so to clarify, the net, it's gone up, it's gone down, and the net thing is up.
The net figure is up by a total of 3.7 mil.
Thank you. Through the Chair, continue on. I've got more questions.
Yeah, please go, Councillor Leeser.
When we were presented these figures, there's no relationship to the same month before, the same quarter before. Are we not going to get presented figures in relation to previous history?
That is a very good question, Councillor. Typically, there would be comparatives provided. Up until the 30th of June last year, the city reported its finances in what I would consider to be a very aggregated may have been the word I was looking for, format, which was particularly unhelpful in terms of understanding the business. So we undertook a process of completely re-engineering the chart of accounts and the reporting hierarchies, which came into effect on 1st of July. It is now a much more contemporary reporting structure. However, there is no one-to-one correlation between last year and this year. So comparatives for this year is going to be quite a difficult exercise. Moving forward, that will always have a comparative period figure in the accounts.
Thank you. That explains it. I thought it was that. Through the chair, advertising costs. So just to clarify, so in 14.1 attachment A, there's a figure in there of advertising costs. That doesn't include staff costs or any allocation from within the city, does it? It's just external costs.
Thank you, Councillor. That's precisely correct.
Good, thank you. Also in that same attachment, new loan proceeds. So are we expecting to borrow $10 million this financial year?
Thank you, Councillor. In the drafting of the budget, and particularly given the COVID environment that we were in, to produce a responsible ballot, budget, we had allowed the opportunity to provide to borrow $10 million this financial year, because there is a requirement, if the borrowings aren't in the budget, it's a very complicated process to then access them through WA Treasury Corporation. I should also point out with this, though, that in the event that the city's finances progress more positively through the year, and that is entirely possible, we would not be drawing down this loan just purely and simply because it's in the budget. We may well get to a point where March, April, we may decide that it's not a necessary thing, but it gives us that flexibility if it's required.
Thank you. Through the chair, I'm talking about attachment 14.1C. What is an example of what is deemed unrecoverable?
Thank you, Councillor. This is a circumstance where it is, after all reasonable efforts have been undertaken, there is no likelihood of the probability of recovering an outstanding debt. And in that process, the organisation would make a provision to allow for that, which has been previously recorded in our book of accounts. And this particular item, I apologise if I'm sounding a little cryptic on this one, there was a report about this particular item, a confidential one, went to council in October this year, at the beginning of October. I can't disclose the specific details, but that's what it relates to.
So we haven't seen that, right?
That would have been immediately prior to council's election.
Okay, thank you. Through the chair, what does brought on mean? So 14.1C at item 1.07, you've used the term brought on for three specific assets. So I want to understand what that means, please.
Thank you. Once again, this is a terrible piece of terminology that is in the guidelines on this new accounting standard. Effectively, it means nothing more than recognising in your accounts.
And we haven't, through the chair, we haven't recognised this before?
These particular items have not been required to be, we've just not been able to bring them to account until these accounting standards changed, which was only in the last few months.
Thank you. In 2.0 of the same attachment, there's items that marked health. I would like to understand what they mean, please.
Thank you. This is yet another one of those program terminologies that are specified in the financial management regulations. In essence, it embraces things such as food premises inspections, public health compliance, public safety, beauty premises inspections. It's all around that public health concept.
Thank you. That explains that. In 7 of the same attachment, land and buildings, proceeds on disposal, there's an amount in there. Do we know what we're expecting to dispose of?
Thank you. This is actually not a city asset that we are disposing of as such. The city is a 1/12 partner in the Mindari Regional Council, which as part of its activities has been developing some land out at Tamala Park. And each year the 12-member council, the member councils get a distribution from that. This is the budget provision for what will be, I would think, the last year of distribution from that facility.
Thank you. Pension 7.0, pension rates deferred. Can we clarify in what instances and what circumstances rates get deferred, please?
Thank you. I'll try and do this at a fairly high level, because the explanation of this could take us till around about February if I went into the specific circumstances. The particular provision is available to eligible pensioners only under the Pension Rebates and Deferrals Act, which essentially allows certain eligible pensioners to not pay their rates at the time that they are levied. The amount is maintained as a debt by the city, and then upon the ultimate disposal of the property, whenever that occurs, the rates are cleared automatically. The City of Perth actually is probably, of all the local governments I've seen in my career, probably got the lowest value of pensioner deferrals of any local government, so it's quite modest relative to others.
Thank you. Through the Chair, why is that item separate? Like, I don't see an item for non-paid commercial rates, for instance, as a separate item.
Right, thank you. The disclosure of rates debts is shown as an aggregate number in these reports. We do have the ability to provide council with a breakdown of what is residential, commercial, office, hotel, etc. And we would typically provide that report after each instalment due date. The second instalment due date is pretty much now. It's this week, basically. So next month, we would be able to make that information available to council.
Thank you. Emergency levy inflows are more than emergency levy outflows. How does that work? Because I would have thought that would have balanced.
Thank you, Councillor. That is actually a perfectly reasonable assumption. At the end of the year, that should be the scenario. The way that emergency levy operates now, we levy it on behalf of Fire and Emergency Services with the rates notices. The ratepayers will, at whatever time they pay their rates, they will pay that money to us. Once a quarter, we are required to remit the collections to date to Fire and Emergency Services. So we will always have collected more and therefore have less owing than the amount that we need to pay to them. But at year end, it will all net out, as you've indicated.
Thank you. I don't understand what the David Jones Bridge is. I'm sorry to ask that question. I have no idea what that is.
Thank you. That is, a perfectly understandable question. It's, as I understand it, the pedestrian overpass near David Jones in the city. There is a reserve has been set up in relation to that, which I understand may relate to some potential future maintenance or remedial work that may need to be done on that bridge.
Through the Chair, is that an asset that we own? Is that ours? Or is that something that we look after?
I may want to take that one on notice to give you a 100% accurate answer, but my instinct tells me that we don't own it as an asset, but we have a responsibility in terms of its upkeep.
Thank you. Through the Chair, Attachment D mentioned Christmas decorations. Is this the same line item as Christmas lights trail, or is it different?
This is actually a different line item, so the lights trail is quite separate. The city had been in the past leasing a substantial portion of the Christmas decorations that we would see out on the street. That lease concluded, or the final year of that lease has now passed, so the city made a decision to go out and actually purchase a new set of purchase outright a new set of decorations. The arrangement for the that purchase was that it would be paid in two instalments, the first of which should have already been billed, but because of issues around COVID and shipping, it has not yet been invoiced. But ultimately, that cost will potentially come in about $100,000 under the overall budget.
Thank you. Moving on to 14.2. So there's a lot of very specific questions about very specific invoices here, but they generally fall into a couple of themes. So with the Water Corporation, we seem to be paying some Water Corporation bills for car parks that seem high to me, but I'm happy to be proven wrong. I just don't understand why car parks are using a lot of water.
So, Councillor, are we not on that item yet?
We're not on that item.
Believe.
Sorry.
So
Apologise.
Beautiful work thus far. I'll just ask you to hold your horses and such. That's not a technical term, by the way. Project Director, just on 14.1c, before we ask any other councillors for questions, the first of the councillors' questions there about an example of what is deemed unrecoverable, and you mentioned the confidential report. And I think you mentioned October. I have the benefit of the supercomputer here. We couldn't find it October. Might it have been September or...
As I recall, it was actually not the ordinary meeting of council. It was the special meeting of council, which only considered two items, both of which were financial matters. It would have been the last meeting attended by the commissioners, I believe. So it would have been very early October.
Yeah, just one moment if we could. So there were two reports. There was an item 7.1, City of Perth monthly financial report for August, and 7.2, capital works projects carried forward for 2019-20.
That's the 2nd of October.
They're the 2nd of October.
Sorry, through the Lord Mayor, it was a confidential item. I'll just go back and have a quick look at when it went through. I'm just wondering if the manager, Alliance Manager of Governance, has access to... Are you looking online, or do you have access to the confidential minutes?
Yeah.
Through the Chair, I am looking online. However, if there is a confidential item, while the report won't be in this agenda, it would be listed under... at least a table of contents. So there's two meetings in October, the first one being the 2nd of October and the second one being the 20th of October, where we voted for the Deputy Lord Mayor.
All right, so we'll get that checked and we will refer back. Councillor Lisa, does that answer all of your questions?
For that item, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, does anybody else, any of the other councillors have any questions in relation to this item 14.1, monthly financial report for September 2020? Councillor Bain?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I have a question regarding item 14.1C, number 2, operating expenditure. Governance is budgeted at $21.5 million. I just wondered if you could explain what that entails. What does governance mean?
Through the Chair.
So if I could take that on notice, we could give you a detailed breakdown of what is embedded in that cost.
Sure. Sorry. It was a question without notice.
Sorry. Through the CEO, that was. Okay. Thank you, Councillor Bain. Any other questions? Nope. Does anyone else have any questions, councillors? Okay, thank you. We move to item 14.2, Schedule of Accounts Paid September 2020. Looking at you, Councillor Lisa. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Lisa.
Through the Chair, thank you. Okay, some specific questions I have just to wrap my head around these invoices. So with the Water Corporation, some of these Water Corporation charges seem high for car parks. So I don't understand what water usage we're doing in car parks or if they've got other things attached. So I could have some clarity specifically on car park 848 Hay Street, car park 81 Royal Street, car park 68A Rowe Street, car park 87 to 89 Pier Street, car park Rowe Street and car park 376 Wellington Street, please. And further question is, are they smart metered by any chance?
Project Director, Strategic Finance.
Thank you. I'll be able to do this one, but the others relating to utilities, I won't, just as a precursor. There are certain car parks in the city, and they've been very well documented there, which actually do have a much higher than would perhaps appear logical water use because they have irrigated areas of garden around them. Some cases there are public toilets, and in some cases those facilities are actually used by some of our rough sleepers for their ablutions as such. So that's why the water use would seem
higher than anticipated.
And my further question, are any of these assets smart metered as far as the water meter is concerned?
You're able to answer that one, Project Director?
That one, I'm afraid, sorry, I can't. It's now moved out of the finance sphere into something I'm not able to answer, but we can follow up on that for you.
We'll take that one on notice and follow up. Thank you, Councillor Lisa. Are there any other questions?
Yes. In the electricity generation invoices, there's an item there called UMS Assets 445. It's a very high number, and I want to understand what that is, please.
Okay. So, Project Director, not your bag, or we're taking it on notice?
Definitely not my bag.
We'll take that on notice, Councillor Lisa.
Thank you. Through the Chair, Deep Green, who does the maintenance contract of the green wall near the library, is that a contract maintenance or an ad hoc maintenance? The green wall, in my opinion, isn't looking that lush at the minute.
Thank you, not so green. We're going to take that on notice, Councillor Lisa. Carry on.
Thank you. Through the Chair, Alinta. Some of the Alinta invoices addresses on the information we've got are non-specific. So they look like, to me, they could be a street or a park, but I'm assuming they may relate to premises or barbecue gas usage. Do we know that?
We'll take that on notice, Councillor.
Thank you. Almost there with my questions. NJH Consulting, we pay for air pollution monitoring and water pollution sensor. Are we able to see the results of this monitoring?
Take that on notice, Councillor.
Thank you. Through the Chair, there was an odd item here about Supreme Court inundation. I didn't understand what that was.
The CEO informs me that she suspects it's a flooding, but we will take that on notice.
That's the end of my questions.
Thank you, Councillor Lisa, for being engaged and involved. Are there any other questions on item 14.2 from any of the councillors? Councillor Bain.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I had an inquiry just about what healthy lifestyle payments were.
So we might, through the CEO.
If we could please take that on notice, that would be appreciated. Sure.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. Any further questions, item 14.2 from any councillors?
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'll bundle them together. If we're up to the one where we're listing payments, a lot of the descriptions aren't helpful. It'll say something like the city has engaged a consultant. Is there a system issue there, or how can we fix this for future reports?
Yes, if we could invite the Project Director, Strategic Finance, to answer these questions.
Thank you very much, through the Chair. The answer is twofold. Firstly, there is a limitation on the number of characters that the system will show when it prints as opposed to what it holds in the descriptive field. Having said that, I'd happily acknowledge the councillor's observation and have already spoken to the staff involved in the processing and asked that they use the available characters economically so that we get a meaningful description for council. So that will occur moving forward. In the case of those specific items, I do actually have an explanation for them, but my laptop has logged itself out of the...
That's fine.
I will get back to you with those details.
I just want to make a quick... It's not that we don't trust, it's just when the public's reading through and you see a nondescript description, there's no point at being there. Another question on that, if I can, through the Lord Mayor. I saw in September we made $201,000 of payments to the brand agency and $61,000 to Carrot for Always On and Marketing. The question is, what have we got ourselves locked into for the rest of the year, and what can we scale back after our discussion as a group last week?
CEO?
Yes, we can, if we can take that on notice, we can provide the details.
Thank you.
Councillor Fleeton, any further questions?
Are we up to the credit card report, or is that the next one?
I think that might be the next one.
Is this
same report, yeah.
So, if I can, through the Lord Mayor, it does show the staff member, but it doesn't give a description of the spend. So just something that the public can point to and go, yes, legitimate. Right now, there's no point in the report existing in its current form. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Project Director.
Thank you very much, Councillor. Noted and will be addressed. And if I may, Lord Mayor, I've managed to get the details of those other payments that the Council was asking about.
Mm.
So the first one he had isolated, which was about 13.7 thousand to WSP, relates to the design work on the Winthrop Avenue shared path design project, and that's one of the specific examples I've used to illustrate why the descriptions need to be adjusted. So that will happen in future. The second one to Scotswood Proprietary Limited related to a review of the summary of the Disability Access and Inclusion Plan, and the third one in relation to $44,000 in relation to light applications. It was part of the ongoing program of lighting upgrades in Adelaide Terrace.
Thank you. Councillor Fleeton? All good, thank you. Do any of the other councillors have any further questions? Councillor Bain.
Thank you again, Lord Mayor. I just, to follow on from Councillor Fleeton's inquiry about marketing, I was curious about our communication spend with Hunter Communications. Are they on a retainer, or is this on an as-needed basis?
CEO?
It's my understanding it's on an as-needed basis, but I will drill down into that detail a little bit more.
Thank you. Can I follow up with another question? Do we have a communications team in-house?
Yes, we do, and I think historically the service has been offered for public relations in the main, but yes, from time to time I suspect some higher strategic communications as well.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Bain. Do any of the councillors have any further questions? Okay, we are moving to item 14.3, process for the development of the 2021-2031 Strategic Community Plan. Do any of the councillors have a question on this item? Thank you. We move to item 14.4. That was a no reserve transfer request. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Gordon, good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Lord Mayor. I had a question pertaining to the wording of the conditions in the recommendation, specifically regarding the reimbursement of the equivalent number of comparable car bays, and whether the wording as it currently stands is sufficiently clear so as to not allow an unexpected result as to when the bays will be reimbursed and where the bays will be reimbursed.
CEO?
Yes, if I could invite the General Manager of Corporate Services to respond to that.
Thank you, CEO. Through the Chair, yes, I guess it has been left a little bit vague in a way to allow some flexibility. I guess the key word in there is comparable. So from a valuation perspective, when I say comparable and within the industry, comparable would be by number, location, patronage, revenue. So yes, it could be in a different location, but we'd need to be essentially achieving the same yield. I guess both of those have been conditioned upon happy to relinquish those management orders, but not until such time as we have identified a comparable number of bays. So if I was sitting down and negotiating with the department, for example, I wouldn't be relinquishing until such time as they said you can have these 461 bays in this location, and we'd sign some sort of agreement to make that happen.
Councillor Gordon?
And follow-up question, if I may, at that time that you're negotiating, would part of that also be that those bays are to be reimbursed at such time that the sites are no longer required or within 6 months of X date?
It's an interesting one because I guess the first site can almost happen at the same time, and we need to understand the construction program to know whether the car park at the Perth Concert Hall will be closed for any period. So it's almost an immediate transfer where they say, if you relinquish the management order, we'll give you that car park to manage. That could be almost instantaneous and put into a lease almost immediately. I guess there is the unknown quantity is the other site, is the whether it is actually needed. So that's probably the one that is a little bit sensitive from a time perspective, because we're just not quite sure when that will happen.
Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Are there any further questions on this item? Item 14.4. Councillor Gobbett, welcome.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. It was just on 14.4, yes. Has the state government given the city any general idea or direction as to whether or not we would be managing or collecting the fees on behalf of the state, similar to arrangements that exist, for example, at Hillary's Marina, where the local authority there manages that arrangement, or indeed through the tertiary health campus in the north of the city, where the local authority again manages those car bays on behalf of another entity, up until the point where the benefits of the city deal are realised, I guess.
Thank you, Councillor, through the chair. Oh, sorry, CEO, I was pretty jumped in the middle of it. Sorry. Certainly the discussion to date has been a management model very similar to the Perth Convention Centre, where we're provided with a long-term lease and essentially manage the facility ourselves without that middle party. So it simply would be a lease to us and we manage the parking business.
Thank you, General Manager, Corporate Services. Follow-up question, Councillor Gobbett, all good. Any councillors have any further questions on this item, item 14.4? Move to item 15, the Chief Executive Officer reports. 15.1 is the appointment of Government Architect to the Design Advisory Committee. Do any councillors have a question on this item? There are no questions. Move to item 16, committee reports, and there are no committee reports this month, so we move ahead to item 17, matters for which the meeting may be closed. 17.1, security services, facilities and car parks, RFT 26 for 2021. It is recommended attachments 17.1A to 17.1E be confidential. Can the CEO please confirm the reasons for confidentiality?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. As confidential attachment 17.1A to 17.E contains the precise weighting of each tender submission against the selection criteria, referee comments, a tenderer's financial assessment and commentary against the selection criteria, it is recommended that the meeting be closed for discussion of this attachment. This is in accordance with section 5.232EII of the Local Government Act 1995, which deals with the information that has commercial value to a person, and section 5.232C, which deals with contracts which may be entered into by the local government.
Thank you, CEO. We might break this up into general questions and then any questions on the confidential attachment, if indeed there are any. So firstly, do any councillors have a question of a general nature? Councillor Leeser?
General nature, through the chair, general nature question is, who does the Safe City Patrols now?
CEO.
And if I could invite our Manager Alliance Parking... Oh, no, sorry, General Manager Community. I've just passed on some responsibility, Nathan.
Thank you, CEO. And through the chair, the Safe City Patrols are contracted through ACE at the moment.
Are there any other questions of a general nature, councillors? Okay. Are there any questions to discuss in specifics to the confidential attachment? There are not? Okay. So I move to item 18 and 19. I'd like to thank you all for your questions in relation to the reports. We now move to the next item of business. And those items 18 and 19 will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. So there being no further business, I now declare the agenda briefing session closed at 5:54 p.m.
Could you please all rise for the departure of the Right Honourable Lord Mayor Basil Zemplis?
Thank you, all right.